Well, here we go. Start of a brand new work week. At least this one is taking us into an August long weekend. Good morning, everyone. I know a lot of Rider fans happy that we got a victory on Friday night, but still wanting to see them have a little more killer instinct and not allow a team to still be in it, such as they were in the final minutes on Friday night. That seemed to be the sentiment, at least after the game when I was listening to the Green Zone.
It was really nice to see a breakout game by the defensive line. They played lights out tonight. This was the game I was waiting for all year from them.
I'm happy they won, but oh man, I was getting a little worried there. But my friends and I were sitting here watching the game. We were doing touchdown beers tonight, so every time they score a touchdown, you have a beer, and I only drank two beers. It's nice to have a little bit more, but I'm glad they won. It was a close game at the end. They won top of the West, so it is what it is. They won. Good on the defense as well tonight.
Yes, indeed. A win is a win, but thank goodness for that defense. Man, they were stellar. We're going to talk a lot more about the big game with our Grey Cup champ and Green Zone analyst Belton Johnson here in just a few minutes. But, of course, next up is a road trip to Montreal on Saturday night. Around town, the countdown is on for the Queen City X. It will start on Wednesday. We've got a new Midway. It's West Coast Amusements, a Canadian company. Our old Midway, North American Midway, is set to return only to Saskatoon. Saskatoon exhibition begins on Thursday. And they got grandstand acts like Loverboy, Metric, High Valley, Smash Mouth, to name a few. We've got Blue Rodeo Wednesday night, followed by the Reclaws, Glorious Sons, Sam Roberts Band, and Kim Mitchell. But if you have kids, you probably are well aware the exhibition is coming this week as the countdown is on here. And if your kids love the rides, well, the best deal to save you some good money is still available at co-op stores. Look for the Ride All Day Pass. It includes gate admission and the rides. It's available at a discounted price of $55. That special deal, among others, disappears tomorrow night at midnight, though. So have a look if you're near a co-op. It saves you good money to get your tickets in advance rather than just show up the day of the fair. Just saying, only till midnight tomorrow night, though. But hope you had a good weekend. Over the weekend, I spoke with a few farming friends who were quite happy with how their fields are looking right now. One farms near Ogemaw. Another I spoke to was farming west of the city, and they both kind of agreed that, hey, for now, it'll be nice if it just gets sunny a bit. We've had some good rain, but yeah, rain has been kind to a good chunk of our province, and I know there are areas that are completely lost at this point here deep in that southwest, but for the most part, a good chunk of the farming community seems pretty pleased right now. I spoke to some farmers at an anniversary party I was at Saturday night. You know, the general conversation was people just talking about how they're enjoying their summer so far. A few comments about, well, it hasn't really felt hot this summer. The month of July, we're almost out of it here. Hasn't been the hottest on record by no means. Certainly the haziest from all the wildfire smoke. I remember a few weeks ago, Dave Phillips from Environment Canada forecasting that July and August would be warmer than usual. Didn't seem that way this month of July. A lot of people talking about how they've enjoyed summer, but the weather hasn't been necessarily consistent. Most of it at the lake or traveling within Canada, touring within Saskatchewan, or maybe hopping over to the west to get into the mountains, as my family and I did when we went to Kelowna a couple of weeks ago. But not much mention of any stateside visits from people I spoke to on the weekend. But Queen City X, as I said, starts Wednesday. What do you look most forward to at the fair? Shoot me a text, 1-877-300-7275. A lot of people go for the food. Many will go for the ride. Some just enjoy the experience of pounding the pavement and dashing in and out of all the buildings, the displays, and walking through the midway. How about you? Fans, best in the West again. It was a bit of a struggle near the end.
Here's Fajardo, and it happens again. Edmonton, seeing the Rider front look to finish this off by themselves by getting in there.
Not enough. 21-18 the final, but I know a lot of fans were calling into the Green Zone after suggesting that we need a little more killer instinct. Belton Johnson, our Grey Cup chap, of course, on that post-game show, joins me now. Good morning, buddy. Welcome again to the show.
Hey, how's it going this morning, Greg?
I'm doing all right. I know you probably would also like to see that killer instinct come through, but a win's a win, Belton. So how do you see this?
Well, yes, I would like to see that killer instinct just polish off somebody, right? The Riders, they were up 21-4, right? I'm thinking they're going to score at least 2-3 more touchdowns, Greg, but it went the other way. But like you said, a win is a win. Hopefully they figure out how to polish off or finish somebody off.
Well, that pressure was just phenomenal all night from the front seven, though. And even Coach Mace was happy about that. So I don't think I've seen a better defensive game. Have you?
No, that was for that front four, front seven there, I'll say. That was the best game they played all season. What I think Fajardo was sacked 8 times, and they were able to stop the Elks rushing game too, right? I think they had a total of, 25 rushing yards. So, you know, but again, the back end there, you know, giving up those big plays, it's got to stop, Greg.
Well, Belton, let me ask you, too, about Cody Fajardo, because it's a good thing the rest of the team sucks. He wasn't that bad at all. He still threw for 395 yards, a couple of TDs. How about a mention of Cody Fajardo?
Yes, Fajardo, you know, I saw that spinorama and everything again, and he had a heck of a game where, you know, again, they're in the third quarter, you know, midway later on and everything. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, he's finna, you know, the sprinkle of Jesus is finna happen right now, right?
What do you think? Do the Elks go back to Trey? I think they got to stay with Cody. I think he was good enough on Friday to say you should be starting again.
And I think they should stick with Fajardo, just, you know, based on what I saw there. And keep in mind, his O-line is not the best at all. Again, you know, what, he hung in there, 8 sacks. He's tough as nails to go through the beating that he took, and still the game that he played, it was absolutely amazing. So if they're smart, I think they stick with him and see what happens from here out.
Belton Johnson is here. The Riders now will take today off and then begin preparing for Saturday night's game in Montreal. And I think I know what you hope to see out of this one here, but is it too soon to ask you? What do you think about this game?
It's too soon to ask. You know, I know the Alouettes, they have a really good defense. And, you know, the Riders, they're going on a trip out east here. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Belton, I know you probably even watched last night's game. I want to touch on the Ticats beating the Lions 37-33. They improved to 5-2 on the season. Once again, reclaiming first spot in the East. I don't know. Some might blame the officiating. I think Bo Levi, man, that guy's looking pretty sharp. And Rourke, he threw just a couple of great balls himself too. But these Ticats are for real, aren't they?
The Ticats are for real. You know, I think I picked them 3 weeks in a row here to lose. So I'm gonna have to rethink things. And yes, you know, Bo Levi, he's, you know, early on season, you know, he's looking like an MOP right now. The arm strength, you know, the weapons he have on offense out there. And the Ticats, they could be a juggernaut out in the East there.
Looking like it right now, that's for sure. All right, Chip, thanks for checking in. I hope you have a great work week.
Hey, have a good one, Greg.
Might be a little hazy at times again today. I don't think it's going to be as irritating as it was some days last week, but fire crews continue to their battles up north again on the weekend. As of right now, there are 60 fires, 12 are not contained. And also right here in Regina, people experiencing homelessness in the Queen City will have somewhere extra to go now. New Beginnings, that new emergency shelter, will officially open up today. It's on Halifax Street. And has space for 50 beds. It's, of course, owned and operated by the city, too. going to be an interesting week. This Friday, President Trump's so-called reciprocal tariffs are set to go into effect August 1st after a 90-day delay impacting multiple countries, including, of course, Mexico and Canada. If Trump's proposed duties of 30% do kick in, Americans could wind up paying more for everything from produce to medical equipment, electronics, and alcohol. And in the meantime, Trump said he reached an agreement with the European Union now to lower tariffs to 15%. Is that an indication of what we can hope for? Well, Trump was warning, too, of double that if no agreement was reached by Friday. The European Union has apparently got their deal in place, and ABC's Rachel Scott has a little more.
The president says the EU, which is made up of 27 countries, agreed to buy $750 billion in energy from the U.S., as well as a large amount of military equipment, and invest $600 billion more than they're already investing. Trump says other countries now have just 5 days to come to the table.
The deals all start on August 1st.
That's Friday, of course. Canada's trade minister, Dominic LeBlanc, will be stateside again this week for more trade talks. He spent most of last week in Washington meeting with U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, who seems to be Trump's right-hand man over all of this right now. Lutnick was on Fox and said there will be no extensions. Kind of.
Will there be any more grace period, any more extensions, and what deals are closest to getting done at this point?
Okay, so no extensions, no more grace periods. August 1st, the tariffs are set. They'll go into place. Customs will start collecting the money, and off we go. Obviously, after August 1st, people can still talk to President Trump. I mean, he's always willing to listen. Between now and then, I think the president's going to talk to a lot of people. Whether they can make him happy is another question.
Lutnick's suggesting that even after August 1st, he'll be talking. And that's kind of how our minister, LeBlanc, sounded. He's been suggesting that getting a trade agreement done by Friday might be kind of tough. He thinks negotiations will go beyond that, too. Staying with financial matters for a second here, too. This Wednesday, the Bank of Canada is all set to announce whether or not there will be another rate cut. However, a lot of the economists suspect it will hold the course again, as it has the last few. A strong June jobs report and some pretty stubborn core inflation readings seem to indicate it's highly unlikely there will be a rate cut on Wednesday. But doesn't mean we're not going to get another one in due time. But a lot of economists believe, not likely Wednesday. We'll have to wait and see, though, officially, of course. Tourism continues to suffer stateside, particularly in Vegas.
I hear that the Hotel Tropicana is quite comfortable.
Trump's, trips to Vegas were down 6.5% during the first 5 months of the year, according to the Las Vegas Convention Center. Hotel occupancy there down nearly 15% last month from the same period a year ago. Less and less Canadians are going, and they've recognized that. And, you know, I'm going to be curious to see how WestJet comes out. Normally, late August or so, they start to announce, you know, some of those destination flights that go direct to all the beaches in the winter, August, early September, they announce. And then that's usually when we hear about Vegas direct flights. It'll be interesting to see if WestJet ditches direct flights. I doubt it, but certainly there's going to be less and less opportunity at this rate here. Trips are down, tips are down at Vegas, which is obviously bad news for the city as they run on gratuities. An estimated 180,000 people in the city of Vegas work for tips alone. Meanwhile, a lot of music acts have been taking up residency in the Sphere, right? Which is a major tourist attraction. Kenny Chesney, who you just heard here a moment ago, he was one of the first country artists to take up residency back in May and June. He's going to return next summer. The Zac Brown Band just announced they will hit up the Sphere on the second week of December, and they got a few more dates early in the new year. And currently, the Backstreet Boys are packing people into the Sphere, too. And the first heavy rock act might soon make an announcement now. Word is that a deal has been inked, and the official announcement of Metallica having a Sphere residency is looking like it's going to be a done deal. Stay tuned for the dates, though. You know, at the end of last week, there's a rumor that man right there, Phil Collins, was in rough shape, and he was in hospice care. However, his people have now confirmed he is currently in the hospital undergoing knee surgery. He's 74 years old. Phil Collins, rumored to have been in hospice. And after that rumor was going viral on social media, that's when one of his representatives confirmed, at least to TMZ, that the claim is untrue. Collins has had his health struggles. There's no doubt about that. Nerve damage stemming from a 2007 spinal injury has prevented him from drumming. And there was an interview earlier this year, where he had said he had considered recording new music, but was really unable to follow through with it because he's pretty sick right now. But yeah, he is not in hospice, in hospital though, recovering from surgery. Was looking to see what's coming up in theaters this weekend. It's finally here. This is the one movie I've secretly been looking forward to, the Naked Gun movie. You remember, it was a short-lived television series, right? Police Squad, back in the day, in the early 80s. And then it got a second life as the Naked Gun series of movies with Leslie Nielsen. Now more than 30 years after the 1994 Naked Gun 33 and a Third Final Insult movie, there is a reboot with Liam Neeson and Canada's own Pamela Anderson arriving on the big screen this Friday. It's hopefully riddled with moronic jokes and a lot of toilet humor and sight gags, just like all the others. I'm hoping so. But it might be the one movie that drives me to the theater this weekend. I've been looking forward to seeing how that is. I still haven't watched the new Happy Gilmore.
But even when you're at the top of your game, you can always shank one.
Happy Gilmore sucks.
Oh, eat a bag of
Yeah, Happy Gilmore 2 was out on Netflix Friday, and immediately it's become a hit. In this one, Happy's trying to make a comeback at golf just to be able to put his daughter through a prestigious ballet school. And we'd heard Adam Sandler said, you know what, more and more people were always asking him, why not bring back Happy Gilmore? So he finally gave in.
When I walk down the street, a lot of times people would say, are you ever going to do Happy Gilmore too? And for 28 years, I was like, what are you talking about? No. And then all of a sudden, I was like, maybe.
Yeah, lots of cameos in this one. Almost every professional golfer you can think of. Sandler's wife in real life stars in it with his kids as well, too. I haven't watched it. I heard from a few people on the weekend, when I was hanging out at an anniversary party on Saturday, a few had seen it on Friday and said, actually, it was really, really funny and was a worthy sequel. Have you seen it yet? What do you think? 1-877-300-7275. I guess while filming it in New Jersey, Adam Sandler wore an Ice House hockey jersey with the number 13, which was a quiet but meaningful nod to Johnny Goodrow, who wore number 13 and also hails from the Garden State. That's kind of cool to see. All right, coming up, Kevin Martell is away on vacation. We'll hear from Andrew Shepherd with all the very latest news headlines, including whether or not this haze that's in the forecast, is it going to thicken up? We've spoken to Environment Canada's Dan Fulton. He said there's a big ridge of high pressure moving through northern Alberta, and it's helping to blow smoke across us into Manitoba today.
For Saskatchewan, it actually looks not too bad in terms of the smoke.
Just a bit of haze for us. I don't think it's going to be an irritating air quality at all by the afternoon, but certainly there is some haze in our forecast. And the X starts on Wednesday, and by middle of the weekend of Thursday, we're seeing temperatures get closer to 30 degrees.